What is up, parents? Alec here. Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Life Podcast. This week, we have an episode all about mental health. Now, you may be seeing the title going like, yes, ready to listen. And I make a disclaimer in the recording as well. But just, hey, we're not getting into the like deep nitty gritty of mental health. This is very like foundational, but so many helpful nuggets from Clay, who we have on. And so it's a really awesome episode. It was really helpful. And honestly, I want to encourage you to listen to the whole thing, because towards the end, Clay just dropped this bomb on all of us that we, it was funny because like we just didn't have a response. And so it's a really, really good episode. I'd encourage you to listen to the entire thing. So without any more delay, here's this week's episode. What is up, everyone? Thank you for joining us for another week of the Everyday Life Podcast. I'm Alec, and with me, as always, is Kelly and Shane. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
So great.
Doing great. I'm doing great.
Doing great?
Yes.
How are you doing mentally?
I think I'm in a good place.
Okay. Well, we'll find out today.
We will.
We are talking about mental health today, and we have a very special guest to do that. We have Mr. Clay, I just blanked on your life. Clay Harris. Oh my gosh. Oh my Lord. I forgot.
You have a
Alec,
sheet
you
right
have to redo you. That.
No, it's okay. We're going. What? We're going. Clay, your name is right here on the sheet that I'm going to read from.
We're so glad
everyone.
You're here.
I am
it's
so
an
glad
uphill
you're
battle from here.
Literally. Well. Okay, so what happened is like, I went to say your name, Clay, and then I was like, wait, Harris is his wife's name. And I'm like, and then I was like, no, no. Like, and so my brain just seized for a second.
How are you doing mentally, Alec?
I guess not good. But we have Clay Harris on today. And Clay, we're really excited for you to be here. Thank you for being here. Clay has a master's in marriage and family counseling as well as Christian education, both from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he's been practicing in the field of mental health for over 20 years as a licensed professional counselor. Your specialty is working with those who have complex situations, as well as people who have experienced trauma. Along with all of that, you are a volunteer within our ministry. And again, I think that's super cool. And that you're willing to give up your time and just be around students, be around us as staff, being willing to be a resource. And so thank you for doing all that.
Welcome.
But before you did all this, you had a unique situation heading into seminary, didn't you?
Yeah, but you'll have to. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what your lead in on that.
It's not like every day you have a counselor who's like, yeah, I mean, I was on an NFL roster for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I had a cup of coffee with that. It was a very, very short stint, but yes, played college football and was fortunate enough to kind of have the experience of having an agent and going and spending some time trying to have a further career with the Buffalo Bills and things like that. But the last injury at that point in time kind of in that. At this point, I think I'm at 9 surgeries, so that was the end of that.
What's your secret? You're telling Shane and I about this secret. I don't know what word to use.
Ointment.
Yes, the yes. Ointment.
Well, yeah, all those words are just weird to say. So
then why did you bring it up?
Well, because I was hoping to find. I was going to say special tool. I don't know. Anyways, for all the people like you, me, Shane, that have joint issues. What do you use?
Is this like a?
This is not
sponsor.
Are they going to be a sponsor? Are they going to be a sponsor?
If
now?
They want to sponsor us, and we get unlimited of it. I haven't tried it yet, but I've got a men's league coming up that I'm going to be playing in.
Voltaren,
I 100%.
Voltaren gel over the counter. Get it anywhere. Topical steroid. It sure is helpful.
Have you gotten it yet, Shane?
I just got a box from Amazon.
Have you tried it yet?
Not yet.
Okay, you'll have to tell us.
I'm going to.
Like,
not on the podcast, but I will.
Oh, okay.
But
okay. Wait. All right. Before we get into this, I just want to go ahead and preface this conversation of like, just so if you're listening going like, I can't wait to get like into the nitty gritty, like, hey, I appreciate that, but like, we're not getting super, super deep in any one specific area. We're going to like, we're going 30,000 foot view talking about mental health, how to approach it as a parent. And so with that, I think like with this being kind of a church resource, there may be a lot of people that are listening going like, well, like, I know people that are like, nah, mental health is not something to worry about. It's just spiritual warfare. And my child is just struggling with this, and I just got to pray it out of them. And so we've had a lot of parents ask about mental health and all of this. And so I think it would just be, Clay, I would love to hear what you think is the role in scripture or the spiritual warfare versus mental health, and or how are they combined, and how should parents and we as believers be approaching, in your opinion, mental health?
One of the ways that I conceptualize and talk about this perspective is to kind of step outside of mental health and just say, how do we approach physical health and even spiritual health? So if we look at it from a spiritual perspective, a physical perspective. And if we have kiddos, if we're kind of looking at the parenting component of this, and we have children and we say, okay, our kiddo has injured their arm. We as a parent have to assess that situation to determine how extensive that injury is, whether or not we're equipped to address that injury, if we have the tools in our home to address that injury, or if we have to Google to see what we might need to do, or if we recognize and assess that we need to go and seek maybe a parent that said, hey, mom, dad, how did y'all deal with this, you know, when I hurt my arm? Or a friend or someone that you view as having some level of knowledge that's beyond yours, or even at any point seeking help from a professional that says, okay, I recognize that although I'm their parent and it's my responsibility to care for their safety, I recognize that this is not my area of expertise in the fact that I believe your injury is extensive enough that in order to have it repaired, fixed, or healed, that I don't believe I'm going to be able to do that. And so, you know, it looks like your arm may be broken. That is beyond my capabilities, even though I am your parent, and even though I am responsible for your well-being and safety, I recognize that I need to seek something beyond what I'm able to offer. It almost gives that, it's like you would chuckle to say, if I said to one of you guys, okay, when you have a toothache, do you fix that yourself?
No.
No,
not at all.
If you were to assumingly break your leg, would you try and fix that yourself?
Absolutely not.
And when your children have, some type of injury that is if they have a cut and a laceration on their head, are one of you guys going to try to stitch that?
I would not. That would not end well.
And so when you start to think about it like that,
yeah.
And even if you were to go outside of that and say, okay, if your engine starts smoking on your car, if you're not a mechanic, are you going to hold yourself responsible for trying to fix your car? Mm. Or are you going to say, okay, this is outside the realm of me being able to work on this? Even if you're, you know, kind of familiar, at some point you recognize when it's beyond your capabilities, even though it's your car and you're responsible for that car. And so when you start to think about things that in the way that we perceive everything else on the planet, and then you come back to mental health, it starts to help conceptualize how you could look at mental health in that same perspective. But we often don't. We often see our own mental health and the mental health of our children as our responsibility at all costs, at all levels. Mm. And so it's like, you know, maybe a conversation for another day that says, why do we do that?
Right.
but recognizing that we do that is a start to say, okay, I recognize I may do that, and I recognize I may not have to.
Right.
So within that, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Kelly brought this up, is there's a stigma that goes along with getting that help, which when the way you just said it, if I go see a doctor for a broken leg, Nobody goes, hey, man, what's your problem? But if I go see a counselor or if I go see a therapist, there seems to be this stigma, and even so in the church world, because maybe we didn't pray enough about it, or maybe we didn't take it to the Lord enough. What would you say to parents who, for both of those sides, go, man, am I not spiritual enough to deal with this, my child's issue, and this negative connotation that has been around for a long time? And I think it's getting better.
Oh, it's definitely. I think definitely it is. COVID.
Yeah. And I didn't think about that. I didn't even think about the COVID shift.
COVID changed the game on mental health.
But for a long time growing up, people would, if they were going to see a counselor, it'd be in whispers.
Sure.
It would never be like you see it today, where pastors talk about it, or where that's one of the first things we look to when we hear about that. And so what would you say to parents who are wrestling just with those two?
Good.
Okay.
It is something to be wrestled with. And the fact that they're wrestling with it at least means that they're having the thoughts or potentially the conversations. So good for them that they're even at that place where they're willing to wrestle with that. Mm. The Bible provides plenty of opportunity to reference mental health in regards to anxiety, depression, perfectionism, all these types of things, and so there's certainly biblical context to back up that the Bible recognizes that mental health is a thing, and it's part of the spiritual component, and so those two are clearly important, and so mental health is one of the aspects, just like spiritual health and physical health, and seeing those as equals, but yet all working together is very important.
I think that's the key there, that they all work together. There's connection. I think so often when I hear from friends who are struggling with mental health issues and have maybe grown up in circles where there is this really negative, unfortunate stigma attached, they have felt like it's been a one or the other. Like this is either a spiritual battle or it's a mental health issue, when really, it's both. There's connection there. And so your plan of attack to how to overcome that or whatever your plan may be is going to be both. It's not a, oh, I'm going to have to pray this out or take medication. It's a, no, you can do both things. And those are both good choices for you.
Do.
Yes. Like it's not a one or the other. And I think, unfortunately, we've created this, or I don't know how it got created, but there was this awful like shame attached to, hey, I'm struggling with this area. And your illustration is spot on, because if my child came to me with a broken foot, there's no way I'm going to be like, well, sorry, I'm just going to pray for that foot to reattach itself. That sounds right. Absurd. But when my child comes to me and says, I'm really struggling with anxiety right now, and I say, well, just go pray. I mean,
but you would also pray for your child's healing.
Yes.
As well, physically with the foot. Mm-hmm. So there is that piece as well.
Go ahead, Kelly.
No, what advice do we have, or do you have, Clay, for the parent that was maybe brought up in that culture of, hey, we're just not going to talk about these issues? How do they approach that first and foremost with their own mental health? I have a lot of friends who have grown up and maybe didn't get the help that they needed because it wasn't something that their parents allowed or tolerated. And so now they're seeking help for the first time as an adult, but they're also a parent. And so there's sometimes this underlying fear that the mental health battles that they are facing, they're going to trickle down to their children, or they start to see their child wrestle with anxiety and they're trying to combat that themselves. So how do we help break those cycles in our own life, but also parent with the knowledge and awareness that, hey, just because I struggle with this doesn't necessarily mean my child will. They may, but I don't have to parent out of a place of fear.
That was a lot. Yes. So I'm going to try to back up and unpack some of those pieces. And if I miss some of them, just throw back in there. If we as parents have challenges that we believe are impacting our decision-making, our day-to-day life and the way that we deal with our life, then realistically speaking, it has the opportunity and potential to impact our children and the way that we function with them and the decisions we make with them. And so if we are providing our best to our children, then it's also important that we're trying to work on ourselves to ensure that we are at our best in addressing things that, quite frankly, we probably know we need to address. We are not going to have someone tell us something that is all shocking, but maybe not knowing how to deal with that. And so I think just kind of in the first part of that was, if we as adults and individuals and parents know that we have some areas that are footholds or barriers to living the life that God is wanting us to live, then we need to take responsibility and ownership over those things and address those things. And as parents, we want to model for our children how we want them to grow up and live their lives. And so if we are demonstrating this, you should do these things, how do you promote positive mental health if you're not demonstrating and modeling that? Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to sit there and tell your children you should embrace your mental health and talk about your struggles and seek help for those things, but they clearly know that you are struggling with things, and because children are able to see the way we live our lives. And so we're not hiding what we think we probably are hiding from our children most of the time. And so if they see and know that we're not, in fact, addressing our own things, mm-hmm. then what's the likelihood that they're going to do something that we're not doing ourselves?
Yeah, they're like little mirrors. They reflect back to us what they have experienced.
Perceptive is the word that I was going
for. I was gonna say that, but I was like, I don't want to mess them up. I don't want to mess them up.
So, I mean, yeah, our kids are pretty aware of our struggles.
So here's a question, Clay. So I'm going to swing the pendulum the other way for a second. With COVID and the awareness of mental health, words like anxiety and depression have become buzzwords.
And trauma,
yeah. And though they get thrown out very quickly sometimes when someone feels uncomfortable, how do they walk through that with their kid? The difference between, hey, you were just in an uncomfortable situation and it's okay and let me help you learn that, and truly their child wrestling with those things, with anxiety, with depression. What would you say to a parent who, because like I said, even in student ministry, we see it. Their kids will come out and say, I'm having an anxiety attack or I'm having this, and they've never experienced that before, but they saw it the other day in school. And so how would you just counsel a parent in, here's the steps I would take if your student starts using these words?
I would probably try to get some specifics and details on that. And as a parent, that's what I would be sharing with them to do, to really understand. You want to kind of look at how long has that been happening? How much has it been happening? How intense is that? And to kind of get some context around that. Is this an isolated event? Has this been ongoing? Because that's going to help you frame some context behind the depth of this mental health situation. And it will then begin to help you formulate a plan of action on how to address that. And okay. So it's just like if your child comes to you, and let's go back and use the physical component, my ear is hurting. You're going to play investigator and assessment, mm-hmm. and gather an assessment. Okay, how long has it been hurting? When did it start? Does it go away? Does it come back? Do you think it could have been the fact that you had your headphones on for the last 6 hours or your ear pods in, or you fell asleep? Did you take a nap and fall asleep? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. So like, think about approaching mental health with our children the same way that we would approach the physical component if you're struggling with how do I approach the situation. Think about it in that context. That's kind of one of the easiest ways I can help people conceptualize how to address mental health with your children is to kind of think about what would I do in the physical component or even the spiritual component. And so I would encourage them to get details, dig in, ask questions, unpack that, to then be able to know how to formulate a plan on how to address those things. And oftentimes, when you, as an adult and as a parent, have enough information, you can tend to be able to know what to do with that once you have that.
Okay, and so here's, and I'm just thinking through all the things I wrestle with as a parent when it comes to mental health and some of these issues, but what about the medication side of it? I feel, and I'm not in the medical field, I'm not a counselor, but just being in student ministry, I feel like we are very quick to medicate people, and not to say that they're not wrestling with an issue, but I think throwing medication at an issue sometimes is not necessarily the first step we should take. As once again, and I worry about that as a parent and as a student pastor, that we've got a lot of kids who have this medication that they may not necessarily need it, but there are some who 100% need it.
Right.
So how do you walk through that as a parent when a doctor says on your first visit, hey, here's what I would start to do?
Great question, and one that you get often. And so let's take it outside of this realm for a second.
Okay.
And let's talk about a vehicle. If your vehicle starts to smoke, are you immediately going to drive it to a dealership and trade it in? Or are you going to start the process of assessing what's going on and try to tackle that step by step to try to address the symptoms, right? So that you can begin to address the cause and then be able to solve that problem. Okay, so if you look at it from that perspective and then you go back to the mental health side of things, medication can be a useful tool in a tool belt when or if necessary, but oftentimes most successfully utilized if and when all other resources have been exhausted.
Okay. All right. That's great.
And so that would be the conversation to be had is, have you taken steps to exhaust all other resources prior to medication? Because I don't know about y'all, but when you listen to commercials and they talk about this great medication and at the end of it,
there's like all the other things.
There's a 12-minute disclaimer on all the symptoms that it's going to cause you.
Yeah. It's scary.
One of which is death.
Right.
It might even kill you.
Yes. And so I just chuckle because it's like, be cautious of this thing that's going to, you know, supposedly solve all of these things, because even that in and of itself may cause its own new set of symptoms that didn't even exist before.
Right.
So there's a lot to be said about trying to exhaust all levels of other resources before utilizing that tool.
Okay.
But it's not to say that that tool isn't necessary at
yes.
times or for a period of time. But ultimately, medication management is symptom oriented.
Yeah.
And so part of mental health, and we may not have time to unpack this today, but part of mental health, and you look at it from physical and spiritual as well, if you want to have solutions, you're looking at the cause, not the symptoms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's such an important component.
That's big.
When we're talking about parenting, when we're talking about discipline, when we're talking about mental health, we as a culture and society have become so symptom focused
mm-hmm.
that we oftentimes miss that it's really about the cause. And if we can address the cause, the symptoms begin to dissipate on their own. We often play whack-a-mole, Chuck E. Cheese, whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Everybody remember the game? If we as parents are looking at mental health and we are just trying to tackle symptom after symptom after symptom, and we're just going to hit this symptom and put some attention on it and let it go down and say, oh, yay, good for us. We've reduced this symptom over here. And then guess what? All of a sudden, now we've got this new symptom. We're going to put time, energy, and effort into that symptom. But at what point do we stop long enough to say, what is the cause of all of these symptoms? And what I often say is, if we could find a way to reach around and just unplug that game and play a different game altogether, which is looking at the cause of the symptoms, how much more effective would our energy and time be in helping our kiddos deal with their problems than trying to run around and chase all the symptoms?
I think that's priceless. That's huge.
I think in our culture today, we saw like a huge spike in mental health issues. You mentioned COVID and post-COVID. Are there certain things, whether it's in our practices, like how we live our life, rhythms that we have, are there certain things that we can practically implement to develop and maintain a positive mental health? For instance, I guess what I'm getting at is so many people live in isolation. They have no community. Their relationships are really broken. There's so much time spent on a screen, inside versus outside. Like, are there certain things that we can do and model as parents, but also help promote within our kids to help develop positive mental health practices?
Sure. So research is very clear that one of those components is it shows those who are involved in a pro-social activity, at least one pro-social activity, are much more likely to have a healthy balance and successful life opposed to those who are not. And when I say pro-social activity, it is defined as anything. It could be if you're involved in a group that does underwater basket weaving, or if you're in a chess club. It doesn't have to always be sports. It can be sports. It can be singing in a youth group or be involved in a leadership team or whatever. A pro-social activity, if you are involved, that is about that community component. And so that is one that research is very clear on as children in development. And so one of the things that we try to implement is I have perspectives on what I'd love to see our kiddos do, but we've always given them that freedom to choose those things and then choose things and back out of those things once they've finished what they committed to. Right. But we're less focused on what the activity was and more focused on being involved in an activity.
Is it like when you say pro-social, is that only things that are like in proximity with other, like in a room with
like face to face versus online?
Yes.
There is probably some logic to be applied there. Whereas if we're going to put some ratings on that,
right.
We as individuals, God created us to be connected to other people. He did not create us to be individual and live in isolation as individuals. We are not created that way.
Right.
And so ideally you want that in-person connection and communication for that activity. But if circumstances create a situation, you're still going to have a higher success with some type of communication and community if it is online versus not having it at all.
Right.
So there's probably a titrate perspective there on that component.
That makes sense.
So you've been a counselor for how many years?
20.
So 20 years. What's one of the biggest questions you get from parents dealing with mental health? Like, what is one thing that you would go, man, I would almost bet I'm going to get this question every time I sit down with parents? And then how do you answer that question?
I think a lot of times parents present the how do I deal with a parenting plan, like for our household, and a parenting plan, like what is that overall parenting plan look like? How do I deal with that? And so I think there are, when I working with families and parents, there are some general concepts that are applicable across the board, and then there are some ways to apply that specifically per each family. And so I think that's probably one of the things that I would say I'd get hit with the most. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing is,
when you say parenting plan, are you talking about in coordination with their mental health, in the issues that their children are facing, or are you talking about parenting plan is in general?
I would say both.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I would say mental health being incorporated in.
Okay.
That.
All right.
But I think probably as I'm talking about it, I think one of the biggest things that would be presented in session would be why. Mm. Why are they doing these things? Mm. And so I think what I would say to that, and this might be that little nugget that kind of unpacks something that folks can walk away with. If you're wondering why my kiddo has this behavior or are doing these things, what research shows, and this is, I'm going to like greatly summarize this whole piece, but I would say that there are three components that behavior is driven out of. And so if we're looking at symptom versus cause, right, here are the three main drivers to all symptoms. And this is going to be for all human beings on the planet, adults and children. So when I say these things, you are going to most likely identify in one of these three areas, and then you're going to be able to identify your children in one of these three areas. And so we have value. These are core areas of the way that our brains function. Value, safety, and responsibility. So what does that look like? Value looks like Satan, and from a spiritual perspective, saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and attacking the value component to our thoughts. Safety is, I'm unsafe, I'm in danger. That negative thought that's spinning in our head on a background level, oftentimes created from something that might have happened in our childhood or the way that we grew up or the things that we got or the things that we didn't get, or responsibility. We feel this overwhelming sense of being responsible for things that oftentimes we either shouldn't be responsible for or we should stop being responsible for. So thinking it's all my fault, everything's always my fault, or trying to not think that things are your fault and always avoiding taking responsibility. Mm. So once you identify one of those three areas, it's either your brain is always trying to avoid that or fight that. Mm. And so when you begin to, as parents, think about children and their behavior, if you could potentially even just very quickly do an assessment that says, you know, that one really hit a chord there with this kiddo, and I could definitely see them in this category. When you begin to look at behavior mm-hmm. and mental health, you could have a leg up to say, okay, if I can pass by this behavior for just a moment and recognize that it might be driven by this core struggle that they're having in their thoughts, if I were to address that core struggle and not the behavior at the moment, what would that do for the amount that I could get out of that intervention or conversation? It's not to say you can't come back and address that behavior, but if just for a moment you were to really think about what caused that behavior and address that, would we not be in fact unplugging the whack-a-mole game instead of putting all of our energy and effort in just attacking the symptom? Mm.
That's huge. That, golly, like my mind.
I think we're done. We have anything else.
My mind's spinning after that. That is so good, Clay. Because that's. I'll be honest with you. That's probably where I struggle most as a parent. I go to fix the behavior, I'm quick to fix that symptom. Instead of dealing with the bigger issue. Wow, that is so good.
Mm.
I think the kind of last question, Clay, that is, you know, there's been a lot of talk of like focus. There's been a lot of focus on the kids, and so I think like just what's your encouragement to parents as a whole? Just like final, like, you know, you got this, but here is my last little tidbit.
Parenting is tough. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what your background is, what you've studied, what you haven't studied. Kiddos are tricky. They're throwing curveballs at all the time. Just when we think we've got something handled, a new situation occurs. And so we are all faced all the time with new challenges as parents, but it's also a blessing, and it's also something that we can do our part in and have something that is a beautiful part of what God has given us. And so I would say, just like with anything else, if there are areas of struggle, don't ignore them. Yeah. Don't act like they don't exist. Don't avoid them. Put some work in. Seek some counsel from friends, colleagues, church, the Bible, mental health resources. Put in that effort as a parent to fill in the gaps of where you might be struggling, to know how to present yourself to your children as the best parent that you can be.
Mm. And what would be a resource that if you had one or two, just like, hey, go look at these?
Here's what I'll say. I used to get asked this at the end of every first session as parents. They're like, okay, you got me. I'm in. I understand what you're saying. Now give me some stuff that I can go and like work on with resources. And here's one of the things that I say. I used to give that, and I would come back and have people say, you know, that one didn't work for me. That one didn't ring a bell. That one didn't hit the mark. Well, that one didn't address. And so where I began to go in practice is to say, go out there, figure out what fits for you.
Yeah.
Go out there. There's some staples to which I know that y'all have provided on your website and with other podcasts. So I would say to ditto to those that are already there.
Yeah.
My addition to that would be, go and do some homework. There's still a bookstore around. go in there, look through there, read some of the titles, read some of the summaries. Go on Amazon, look up books, searching in what might pertain to you and your struggle as a parent at that moment. Yeah. Go and read some of the reviews. There's podcasts, there's audiobooks, there's so many resources. I just found that when people would come back and have done that, they became more passionate about that resource than me giving them one that I thought was universal.
Right.
They would come back and have so much more passion about, you know, I found this book online and it did these things and it was saying this. Great. Is that helpful for you? Is that useful? Yes. Or they would come back and say, man, I read this book and it was not helpful. Okay, well, let's talk about why it wasn't helpful.
Right.
And now what do you need to fill that? And so my encouragement in regards to this question would be simply go and do some research and begin to fill yourself with knowledge on what might work for you or what might not.
Sweet. Well, Clay, thank you so much for being on. That last, I wish y'all could have seen the look on all of our faces when Clay got done. We're all like, I don't know where to go from here. It was so good. But the website that Clay is referring to is our resource page. If you head to it, longhollow.com/parent, you'll find the landing page that has the different age groups that you can go to that best applies to you. And there are different resources there for you. And you can go look all through all four of the different pages and find the resources that you need. Clay, thank you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you guys.
This was really, really helpful. And so with that, I hope you guys have a great week and we'll talk to you later. See ya. Well, that is the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, getting to listen as much as I enjoyed getting to be a part of the conversation. And that's a conversation that we want you to be a part of. So if you text the word parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, to 98173, you'll get a link to a form where you're able to ask your questions that you may have, send us topic ideas that you'd love to hear us talk about, because we want to hear from you. We want this conversation to be both ways, not just us in a room, but you as parents or soon to be parents, a part of the conversation as well. And if you know someone in your life that is expecting, soon to be, not yet, but wants to be, or a current parent, please send this to them. We want this to be a helpful resource more than anything. So please share it with whoever is in your life. Like it, subscribe to it so that you know when new episodes drop. Again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, and we want you to be part of the conversation, text PARENT, P-A-R-E-N-T, to 98173. Well, that's all for this week's episode. We will catch you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you later. Bye.